Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Thursday, March 23rd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. I would recommend that you definitely go out there and look at it. You can find us at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely worth your while. A lot of great listening out there. I'm going to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We're striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can shift gears and create and set up a classical education focused school to provide an alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link. You can take a read through the description. It'll be a much more better and much less stuttery description than I just gave you. And then we would ask three things of you. We would ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask you to share the link out to other folks to pass it along so that they can do the same. I also want to send out a big shout out to my wonderful, beautiful princess, my wife. Today is her birthday. And no, I'm not going to tell you how many. I'll tell you this, she is not yet 50, and that's what we're holding to till I throw her a big 50 plus or a big 50th birthday party. So she is not yet 50. She's 49 for the so many times. So anyways, happy birthday to her. I love her dearly, and God has greatly blessed me to allow me to be her husband. So we're going to do our reading for this morning segment. So let's go ahead and let's jump into it. We're going to open up like we usually do on Thursday with the fifth day morning prayer. It's called the Giver. Let's pray. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear. Allure us into thy presence, help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials, but thankful for our state, and by so doing, let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right. And now, our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for March 23rd. The text is from Luke 22:44. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The mental pressure arising from our Lord's struggle with temptation so forced his frame to an unnatural excitement that his pores sent forth great drops of blood, which fell down to the ground. This proves how tremendous must have been the weight of sin when it was able to crush the Savior so that he distilled great drops of blood. This demonstrates the mighty power of his love. It is a very pretty observation of old Isaac Ambrose that the gum which exudes from the tree without cutting is always the best. This precious camphor tree yielded most sweet spices when it was wounded under the knotty whips, and when it was pierced by the nails on the cross. But see, it giveth forth its best spice when there is no whip, no nail, no wound. This sets forth the voluntariness of Christ's sufferings, since without a lance the blood flowed freely. No need to put on the leech or apply the knife. It flows spontaneously. No need for the rulers to cry, "Spring up, O well," or of itself it flows in crimson torrents. If men suffer great pain of mind, apparently the blood rushes to the heart. The cheeks are pale. A fainting fit comes on. The blood has gone inward as if to nourish the inner man while passing through its trial. But see our Savior in his agony. He is so utterly oblivious of self that instead of his agony driving his blood to the heart to nourish himself, it drives it outward to bedew the earth. The agony of Christ, inasmuch as it pours him out upon the ground, pictures the fullness of the offering which he made for men. Do we not perceive how intense must have been the wrestling through which he passed, and will we not hear its voice to us? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Behold the great apostle and high priest of our profession, and sweat even to blood rather than yield to the great tempter of our soul, of your souls. All right, so now we're going to get into our reading for the day. We're going to read Numbers 36 and Deuteronomy 1. So we're getting out of the book of Numbers into the book of Deuteronomy. Then we'll be reading towards the end of Luke 5 and then into the beginning of Luke 6. We'll be reading Psalm 66 and then Proverbs 11 verses 24 through 26. So again, we're reading in Numbers 36 starting in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. And the heads of the fathers' households of the family of the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the leaders, the heads of the fathers' households of the sons of Israel. And they said, Yahweh commanded my Lord to give the land by lot to the sons of Israel as an inheritance. And my Lord was commanded by Yahweh to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they marry one of the sons of the other tribes of the sons of Israel, their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of our fathers, and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. Thus it will be withdrawn from our allotted inheritance. And when the jubilee of the sons of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they belong. So their inheritance will be withdrawn from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Then Moses commanded the sons of Israel, according to the word of Yahweh, saying, The tribe of the sons of Joseph are right in their statements. This is what Yahweh has commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry whoever is good in their sight, only they must marry within the family of the tribe of their father. Thus no inheritance of the sons of Israel shall be transferred from tribe to tribe. Just a minute. All right, sorry about that. Got into a coughing fit. I'm going to restart in verse 7 of Numbers 36. Thus no inheritance of the sons of Israel shall be transferred from tribe to tribe, for the sons of Israel shall each hold to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who comes into possession of an inheritance of any tribe of the sons of Israel shall be wife to one of the family of the tribe of her father, so that the sons of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another tribe, for the tribes of the sons of Israel shall each hold to his own inheritance. Just as Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the daughters of Zelophehad did. And Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, married their uncle's sons. They married those from the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained with the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which Yahweh commanded to the sons of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan opposite Jericho. Deuteronomy 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Trophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizaha. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it happened in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel, according to all that Yahweh had commanded him to give to them. After he had struck down Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth, and Edrei, across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, Yahweh our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set out and go to the hill country of the Amorites, and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the Shephelah, and in the Negev and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have given over the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and to their seed after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear the burden of you alone. Yahweh your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day like the stars of heaven in number. May Yahweh the God of your fathers increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you, just as he has promised you. How can I alone bear the load and burden of you and your strife? Choose wise and understanding and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. Then you answered me and said, the things which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and gave them as heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds, of fifties and of tens, and officers for your tribes. Then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brothers, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, or the sojourner who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and fearsome wilderness, which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as Yahweh our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorite, which Yahweh our God is about to give us. See, Yahweh your God has given over the land before you. Go up, take possession, as Yahweh the God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up, and the cities which we shall enter. And the thing was good in my sight, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe. Then they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit in the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought word back to us and said, it is a good land which Yahweh our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because Yahweh hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And moreover, we saw the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread, nor fear them. Yahweh your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how Yahweh your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all of this you did not believe Yahweh your God, who goes before you on your way, to spy out a place for you to encamp, in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. Then Yahweh heard the sound of your words, and he was angry and swore an oath, saying, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed Yahweh fully. Yahweh was angry with me also on your account, saying, not even you shall enter there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter there. Strengthen him, for he will cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, who you said would become plunder, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn around and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. Then you said to me, we have sinned against Yahweh. We will indeed go up and fight, just as Yahweh our God commanded us. And every man of you girded on his weapons of war, and regarded it as easy to go up into the hill country. And Yahweh said to me, say to them, do not go up and do not fight, for I am not among you, so that you are not defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you rebelled against the command of Yahweh, and acted presumptuously, and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in the hill country came out to meet you, and pursued you as bees do, and crushed you from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before Yahweh. But Yahweh did not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you remained there. All right. Now, Luke 5. Let me see. Luke 5, starting in verse 29. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees also do likewise, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. He says the old is good enough. Luke 6, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that on a Sabbath he was passing through some grain fields, and his disciples were picking and eating the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions? And he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' Now it happened that on another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he heals on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Get up and come forward.' And he stood up and came forward. And Jesus said to him, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and were discussing together what they might do to Jesus." All right, Psalm 66. For the choir director, a song, a psalm. Make a loud shout to God, all the earth. Sing praises for the glory of his name. Establish his praise as glorious. Say to God, "How fearsome are your works, because of the abundance of your strength. Your enemies will cower before you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, who is fearsome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us be glad in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Bless our God, O people, and make sound of his praise heard, who establishes us among the living, and does not allow our feet to stumble. For you have tested us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You established an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts, with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats, Selah. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will recount what he has done for my soul. I called out to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue. If I see wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me." And finally, Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 26. "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who holds back what is rightly due, and yet results only in want. The soul that blesses will be enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Thank you for spending this time with me. I hope this time is edifying for you, being exposed to the word and the devotion and the prayers and such. I did forget yesterday. I do want to put a shout out there for my son, Aaron. Yesterday was his birthday, and I forgot about it. I forgot to say something in the podcast, but I want to say happy birthday to him as well. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen, so it doesn't really matter, but I want to do it anyways. And wish him a happy birthday. I hope he has a great one with his family. And we're going to go ahead and close out with prayer. Let's see. Let me find the page here. There we go. All right. The prayer we're going to use from Valley of Vision is called Active Approach. Let's pray. Benign Lord, I praise thee continually for permission to approach thy throne of grace and to spread my wants and desires before thee. I am not worthy of thy blessings and mercies, for I am far gone from original righteousness. My depraved nature reveals itself in disobedience and rebellion. My early days discovered in me discontent, pride, envy, revenge. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the multiplied transgressions of later years, my failure to improve time and talents, my abuse of mercies and means, my wasted Sabbaths, my perverted seasons of grace, my long neglect of thy great salvation, my disregard of the friend of sinners. While I confess my guilt, help me to feel it deeply, with self-abhorrence and self-despair, yet to remember there is hope in thee, and to see the Lamb that takes away sin. Through him may I return to thee, listen to thee, trust in thee, delight in thy law, obey thee, be upheld by thee, preserve my understanding from error, my affections from love of idols, my lips from speaking guile, my conduct from stain of vice, my character from appearance of evil, that I may be harmless, blameless, rebukeless, exemplary, useful, light-giving, prudent, zealous for thy glory, and the good of my fellow men. Amen. All right, well, again, I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you for the evening segment. Have a good one. God bless. Welcome to the evening segment of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. Good evening and welcome to the evening segment of the Thursday, March 23rd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely worth your while to get over there and find some good listening. All right. Well, we're going to be continuing on this evening in our Bible study in John 6. We'll be wrapping up John chapter 6 tonight and moving on into John, God willing, John chapter 7 tomorrow. But let's go ahead and open up in prayer. The prayer we're going to open up with from Valley of Vision is called Need of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am blind. Be thou my light. Ignorant, be thou my wisdom. Self-willed, be thou my mind. Open my ear to grasp quickly thy Spirit's voice and delightfully run after his beckoning hand. Melt my conscience that no hardness remain. Make it alive to evil's slightest touch. When Satan approaches, may I flee to thy wounds, and there cease to tremble at all alarms. Be my good shepherd to lead me into the green pastures of the word, and cause me to lie down beside the rivers of its comfort. Fill me with peace that no disquieting worldly gales may ruffle the calm surface of my soul. Thy cross was upraised to be my refuge. Thy blood streamed forth to wash me clean. Thy death occurred to give me a surety. Thy name is my property to save me. By thee all heaven is poured into my heart, but it is too narrow to comprehend thy love. I was a stranger, an outcast, a slave, a rebel, but thy cross has brought me near, has softened my heart, has made me thy father's child, has admitted me to thy family, has made me joint heir with thyself. Oh, that I may love thee as thou lovest me. that I may walk worthy of thee, my Lord, that I may reflect the image of heaven's firstborn. May I always see thy beauty with the clear eye of faith, and feel the power of the Spirit in my heart, for unless he move mightily in me, no inward fire will be kindled. Amen. All right. Now, our evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for it is from Luke 19, verse 40. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. But could the stones cry out? Assuredly they could if he who opens the mouth of the dumb should bid them lift up their voice. Certainly if they were to speak, they would have much to testify in praise of him who created them by the word of his power. They could extol the wisdom and power of their Maker who called them into being. Shall not we speak well of him who made us anew, and out of stones raised up children unto Abraham? The old rocks could tell of chaos and order, and the handiwork of God in successive stages of creation's drama. And cannot we talk of God's decrees, of God's great work in ancient times, and all that he did for his church in the days of old? If the stones were to speak, they could tell of their breaker, how he took them from the quarry and made them fit for the temple. And cannot we tell of our glorious breaker, who broke our hearts with the hammer of his word, that he might build us into his temple? If the stones should cry out, they would magnify their builder, who polished them and fashioned them after the similitude of a palace. And shall not we talk of our architect and builder, who has put us in our place in the temple of the living? In the temple of the living God. If the stones could cry out, they might have a long, long story to tell by way of memorial. For many a time hath a great stone been rolled as a memorial before the Lord, and we too can testify of Ebenezers, stones of help, pillars of remembrance. The broken stones of the law cry out against us, but Christ himself, who has rolled away the stone from the door of the sepulchre, speaks for us. Stones might well cry out, but we will not let them. We will hush their noise with ours. We will break forth into sacred song and bless the majesty of the Most High, all our days glorifying him who is called by Jacob the Shepherd and Stone of Israel. All right. Well, like I said, we're going to be continuing on in our study of John chapter 6. And our text today is John 6, verses 66 through 71. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read our verses for today, and then we'll get into our Bible study. So, John 6, verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples went away and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So, a rough summary of chapter 6. We've watched Jesus feed the 5,000. We've watched him walk on water. We saw him deal with the true disciples who worshipped him in the boat and believed, who saw him come along and were first scared, but when they realized who he was, when he called out who he was, they went. Peter said, "Please let me come to you." And Peter walked on the water. It was wonderful. And we saw the false disciples who only wanted another free meal. And they were so focused on the material. And we've talked about that multiple times over the last number of evenings, which led into the bread of life discussion and Jesus trying to point out that the bread of life was more important, that he himself being the bread of life was more important, that their internal salvation was more important, that them being immersed in the bread of life, taking in the true food and the true drink, were more important than the material. But they were so focused on it, we watched them harden their hearts over and over again. And we move kind of from the fickle crowd that we had seen to the Jewish leadership, though I'm sure the groups kind of intermixed, okay? But then we started discussing the response to the bread of life. That response, we saw the beginning of the bread of life discussion, then we saw the appropriating of the bread of life, we talked about that. And then we started discussing responding to the bread of life. and we talked about the false disciples last evening. They couldn't take it. It was just too hard for them. The idea that this man had come and that this man was telling them that he was who they had to come to and that he had come down from heaven. And the thing is, he had met all the criteria. He had met all the criteria. He had fulfilled all the prophecies. They knew him. I mean, they say it. Wasn't this his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, and et cetera, et cetera? They knew who he was. That's a clear indication. They knew who he was. They knew the details about him, the details that you and I know about him, that he met all the criteria. And I mentioned it last night. You know, we even get to the point, we see how much they harden their heart when they sit there and they've seen all the miracles he's done. And they say that he's doing that by the power of the devil. And, you know, they've hardened their hearts. We see that. So we saw the false disciples. And so they went away. We saw verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples went away and were not walking with him anymore. So tonight, what we're looking at is how the true disciples respond to the bread of life. So we're looking into that response. So verse 67, Jesus turns around. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go?" So Jesus begins this section with a question to the 12. And we got to realize this is the first time in the Gospel of John that the term the 12 is used, that reference to the 12 is used. This is the first time in the Gospel of John that it's used. And to whom, what we need to know is that the Greek for this question, expects a negative answer. It expects them to say, "No, we don't want to go." So, which is why, if you look in the NASB, the wording for it actually kind of lays it out a bit better. Because here in the LSB, it says, "Do you also want to go?" Well, the LSB, the NASB, the way they translated it was, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" That's why they worded that way. And that actually is closer to what the Greek grammar actually says. So he's expecting them to say, "No, they don't also want to go." He knows their hearts. He knows they're the true disciples, except for Judas. He knows they're the true disciples. So he knows that they're not going to want to go. But he's also there. He's showing that contrast between the false disciples and the true disciples. So verse 68, here comes their response. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." So Simon Peter, the sometimes spokesman for the 12, responds to Jesus. And we kind of presume that he's speaking for all of them. Nobody else tries to answer and contradict that, or at least John didn't record it. And so obviously that would be important. So we could kind of presume that would have been included if somebody had. So he's speaking for the group and he says, "To whom shall we go?" And he's basically asking who else they would go to get the words of eternal life, the words of salvation that they get from Christ. Basically, I can't think of the kind of question. But anyways, he's not being serious about that. He's not saying, "Tell us who to go to." He's being clear that there's nobody else for us to go to. Who would we go to? To whom shall we go? But he also points out, it makes clear, there's no one else that they can go to for these words, for this true food and true drink from those words. As we saw it, you have words of eternal life. So we're seeing here one of the key characteristics of a true disciple. We're going to see two in these verses. So this first one is they're showing their faithfulness. They're showing that they are faithful. They're not leaving, no matter how hard this has gotten, no matter how tough it is, no matter how hard it is to understand or how tough what Jesus is saying is to grasp. You know, R.C. Sproul used to do some series in his podcast and the Renewing Your Mind podcast about the fact of the tough sayings. So that's the thing. These guys, no matter how tough these sayings are getting, they're not going anywhere. They're not willing to leave like the false disciples. They're going to be faithful. They're going to stay there. So that's one of those key characteristics. It's one of those key characteristics that you and I, if we are true disciples, we have to manifest. Okay? So verse 69, Peter goes on. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. As Peter goes on, he shows another of those key characteristics of a true disciple. He shows their true faith. And we have believed. This is not believed like we saw in the end of John 2, where the people in Judea, that many believed, but Jesus knew, you know, it talks about Jesus knew their hearts and he wasn't trusting himself to them. Again, we talked about that then. It wasn't a saving faith. They believed they were seeing pretty cool miracles and all that stuff. So that was really cool. And they believed Jesus was doing them, but they didn't believe in him in a saving manner. We've also seen some of that in Galilee, people following him around, wanting to follow him around and get the free food and see the neato golly gee whiz miracles, but there's no true belief in them. There's not. That's why the false disciples went away. But this, beginning of 69, and we have believed, this is a true saving faith. And Peter goes on, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That they have come to know that Jesus was the Holy One of God, that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior prophesied of throughout the Old Testament that would come to save God's elect. They've come to know that, to intimately know that he is. Not only do they believe, but they know that he is the Holy One of God. That is a true saving faith. And so we've seen their faithfulness and their faith, and it's two separate things. Their faithfulness and in their loyalty of staying there. And it wasn't a blind loyalty, but it was a loyalty that he was feeding them the words of eternal life, that they must stay there. It was a hunger and a thirst for the words he had. But then their faith, that they have believed and they do know that he is the Son of God. So Jesus responds to them in verse 70. Jesus responded to what Peter said. Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" So he indicates that he chose the 12, but he acknowledges that one of them is a devil. One of those he explicitly chose is a devil. Judas has been privileged to be exposed to all of Jesus' earthly ministry, to all the miracles documented throughout the Gospels, and the many that are mentioned but not specifically documented. He's seen all of this, but he's going to betray him. And the Lord here clearly indicates that he knows that the devil himself is behind the actions that Judas is going to take. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't give Judas a pass for his actions. He is absolutely responsible for the actions he takes. But the devil is behind this. Okay? So John the Apostle summarizes this up, this last statement in verse 71. "Now he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." Of course, John the Apostle, at the time that this occurred, wouldn't have known that. But when he wrote this decades later, he knew exactly who Jesus was speaking of. So he's doing a commentary on this, that Jesus there, speaking of one of you as a devil, he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So he knew he was going to betray him. So even among the true disciples, you had one that was the devil. Now Jesus knew that, and this was to carry out God's will in all of this. So it really wasn't a surprise to Jesus that one was going to betray him. Actually, you see that in the Last Supper, that he tells Judas, "Go do what you're going to do." But again, we see the behavior of the true disciples. They don't run at the first hint of trouble. They don't walk away when it gets hard. They don't walk away and get all offended because they don't like what's been said. They believe. They have faith, and they know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, that he is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. They know and believe, and then they are faithful to stay and hold fast. And that's what we have to be. Believe me, it is not going to get any easier in this world. It is not. It is not going to get any easier in this world to profess to be a Christian, to truly be a Christian and try to hold to your beliefs. It is getting harder and harder every day, even in our country, which is supposed to be built on religious liberty. Yet, the persecution is coming. Some has already started, but it's very, very light compared to where other places where you can actually be killed because of it. But worse is coming. Worse is coming. Don't ever mistake that. Don't ever think. But believe me, we're going to get to a point that if you're not being persecuted, it's obvious. It's going to be obvious that you're not God's. Okay? That you are not the sons of God. That you are not the adopted children of God. If you're not being persecuted, that is going to become very, very evident. That will be a clear delineation. What do you think they talk about when they're talking about in Revelation, when they're talking about the tribulation? They speak of the tribulation saints. And when they talk about them, the majority of them are dead. They are dead and they are waiting for the end of the tribulation. Okay? It's not going to be waltzing on through, just hanging on and, hey, no big deal. We'll get through this. Oh no, there's going to be major persecution there, but it's coming now. I'm not claiming we're in the tribulation or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to make any kind of prophetic anything. If I was doing that, I would tell you to turn around and run and don't listen to me anymore, because that would be completely false. Because I am not a prophet. I am not. I'm just a guy with a podcast. But again, are we the false disciples, or are we the true disciples? Are we going to turn away from the bread of life when what he's trying to do is feed us the true food and the true drink of eternal life, the true food and the true drink of salvation? Or are we going to hold our ground and be faithful and show true saving faith, knowing that he is the Holy One of God? The difference is clear. And we got to know which one we are. And if we are truly Christ's, then we behave like the true disciples. We don't run at the hard questions. We don't run at the hard parts of it. We don't kowtow and bow down to society and give in to their pressures. We don't. We run the race and we keep the faith. All right, let's go ahead and close for the evening. I know that was a little short, but I'm okay with that. I'm ready to get to bed. I hope you have a wonderful evening. I hope to see you for the morning segment. Let's go ahead and close out with the fifth day evening prayer. It's called Protection. O Lord God, Thou art our preserver, governor, savior, and coming judge. Quieten our souls to call upon thy name. Detach us from the influence of the flesh and the senses. Impress us with the power of faith. Promote in us a spirituality of mind that will render our services acceptable to thee and delightful and profitable to ourselves. Bring us into that state which attracts thine eye and prepare us to receive the proofs of thy love. Show us our danger that we may fly to thee for refuge. Make us sensible of our sin's disease, that we may value the good physician. Placard to us the cross, that it may slay the enmity of our hearts. Help us to be watchful over our ways, jealous over our tempers, diligent over our hearts. When we droop, revive us. When we loiter, quicken us. When we go astray, restore us. Possess us with more of that faith, which is the principle of all vital godliness. May we be rich in faith, be strong in faith, live by faith, walk by faith, experience the joy of faith, do the work of faith, hope through faith, perceiving nothing in ourselves. May we find in the Savior wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a wonderful evening, and I hope to see you for the morning segment. Have a good night. God bless.